Smithville Church family. Good morning. It is a joy and a privilege to be here with you this morning. God is so gracious to us. He is so good that we give God all honor and glory to be in the presence of the Lord today on this Sunday morning. I bring greetings from Westbury United Methodist Church, again, where my husband is the pastor of that church. And I'm grateful that I'm here to cover for Reverend Nunes today, because she actually is one of the pastors that I love, one of your pastor, a woman of faith, a woman of wisdom, and she is a credible witness. And I give God thanks and praise for knowing her. Over the last year, we've gotten closer, and I thank God for her and for this church, for your church community, as I'm here this morning just to bring a simple word of encouragement to you today. So shall we pray? Father, we thank you, God, for this day that you have made. Lord, we are here in your sanctuary, God, to lift you up, O God, and to sing your praises, Lord, and to hear a word from you, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the opportunity, God, to come before your presence with thanksgiving, Lord. Opportunity, Lord, to speak to your people. But more importantly, Lord, that you would use us, O God, to preach the gospel of good news, Lord, to sharpen each other, Lord, and to have us all be encouraged, Lord, to continue on this Christian journey. Bless us now, God, as we engage this subject matter of prayer, God, the power of prayer, even as I am doing right now, Father. Use me, your daughter, your humble servant today, O God, to minister the word to your people this morning. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I am, I speak fast. So I'm hoping that that's okay, that everybody, that I'm clear enough, legible enough that you will hear me as I go through what I'm just, small short word that I'm bringing to you today, but that you can follow the thought and the thought process, and that after we leave this service today, that something that I would have said today would have stayed with you that you can meditate on throughout the week, but not just for throughout the week, hopefully you can impact and use it for your Christian journey as a part of something that you heard on this day that the Lord wanted you to hear, that it's going to make a difference in your life. So today I'm talking about the power of prayer. And the power of prayer, as we've seen just now in the book of James, chapter 5, very short book. Chapter 5, verse 13. I'm going to focus a little bit on verse 16. So we've read through 13 through 16, right? But I'm going to focus for us on verse 16. Now, the sermon title for me today that I thought best that we can really pull out from verse 16 is really called the three pillars of prevailing prayers. It's the three pillars of prevailing prayers. And verse 16, I'm just going to read it again into your hearing, because that's the verse that I'm focused on this morning. So just so we could get a better understanding of just 16 by itself. So verse 16 tells us, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That part, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So if I'm to go through the three pieces that I'm trying to tell you about, the pillars, I want to talk about, and I prefer how it really kind of says it in the King James Version. Because in the King James Version, it really kind of just tells us three things. It talks about the effective, the effectual, right? So that's one. Talks about being fervent in prayer. So that's two. And then the third pillar is talking about us being righteous, righteous men and women before God. So in those three pieces of verse 16, I thought it was God just kind of pulling out to us this power that we're talking about of prayer. One, to be effectual. Two, to be fervent or to stay fervent. And also the fact that there's a righteous, the righteous. We're going to focus on that word also, righteous, being righteous. so that we can have availing prayers, right? And availing prayers is ultimately what we're looking for. One of my favorite pastors that I listen to a lot, Dr. Miles Monroe, he's no longer with us. I always think to myself when I watch TV, when I listen to him, I feel like I'm in his theological school. I'm attending Monroe University, which is somewhere in the Bahamas. But he is so brilliant, and he says to us that he was always wondering, why is it that when we call for prayer in our churches, a lot of people don't show up to pray? And so he was really going through a series of, well, what could this really be? Because we are people of God, and this is what we're taught to do. We pray to our Heavenly Father, whom we cannot see. So clearly this is a spiritual activity. So when we go to God in prayer, we are believing, right, that we are praying to our Heavenly Father, whom we cannot see, spiritual activity, and that we are believing that this spiritual God is hearing us and that he will answer prayers, right? How many of you can agree with that? That's what we're doing, yeah? Good amount of us, right? We're people of faith. This is what we do. This is what we believe. So it's in our heart that we know that God exists. We know that we are operating in a spirit realm because we know that God is in spirit and in truth, right? We cannot see. So this is the same way that we're approaching prayer. But he says, but how is it then that when we call for prayer in church, our folks don't come out to pray? And so there was a level of what he was sharing with us that stuck with me that day. And this is not even anything that I listened to recently. And he was saying, I think it's because many people don't really believe that their prayers are going to be answered. How weird is that? We, as a people of faith, do we really believe when we pray that God hears us and answers prayers? Do we really believe that? A few of us, right? A few of us. And so there's a portion of people that are called intercessors. How many of you are familiar with that word? Intercessors. Yeah? Intercessory. Making requests on behalf of others. Other people, right? You're the one that's standing in the middle. So you're the one that's saying, God, not just for me, but for the people. So I'm interceding. I'm the mediator. I'm the middle person that's saying, God, look upon your people. So you guys will hear me speak about this with some level of conviction because it's kind of near to my heart. I am an intercessor. And in order to have a husband who's a pastor, clearly you really would need to be an intercessor because I need to have prevailing prayers. That's going to avail much when you have the men and women of God that are standing up before the people of God to bring the word, right? And to make sure that they're watching over your soul. Somebody needs to be praying to make sure that, A, they stay on the straight and narrow, that they're really hearing from the Lord, but that also all of what's happening in the spirit realm doesn't affect them as they're bringing this message to you. So I am an intercessor. Amen? All right, good. I like that you guys say amen. It's responsive, right? We say amen to be in agreement, and that's just simply it. So I thank God for that. So there must be someone who's interceding. So not everybody is necessarily called to intercession, but what I am saying is, and I think what Dr. Miles Monroe was saying is, come out to pray. Come out to pray. Even if you are not the one that knows how to pray in that way, And let me clarify that when I say in that way, meaning out loud or have all the words and it sounds as though, you know, you're constantly at the feet of Jesus because you have all the right words to say and your prayers are going forward and you believe that this is going to happen and we see it happen. A lot of times people don't always want to join into that because for many different reasons, right? People are afraid of being critiqued. They're afraid of kind of sounding like, maybe what I'm saying isn't really correct, isn't right, like something isn't kind of, communication isn't clear. But what I am still going to say today and what I am going to encourage each of you to do today is to still join in to those prayers. So whenever your pastor calls for prayer, please be one of those people today that will say, you know what, I'm going out to pray, or I'm getting on that prayer line to pray. I'm stopping here today to encourage you, to tell you about the power of prayer. And so because I'm able to do that, and because I'm going to do that today, you're going to want to be some of those people that are here in the presence of God when prayer is happening. Amen? Yeah, that sounds like a good plan, right? We want to be some of those people that are in the presence of where prayer is happening, right? So we just came out of COVID, and we're not quite out of COVID as yet, right? We're still wearing our masks. But throughout the last 2 years, I don't know who did not believe in prayer. Because everywhere we turned, that's all we were doing was praying. Because that seems like the only thing that we could do. Because we looked to the left, we looked to the right, we heard this one was sick, somebody else is in the hospital, this one is dying, thousands are dying. What can we do? Look up. And the only scripture that we could have heard and meditate on throughout that time was, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and seek my face, then they would hear from heaven and I would heal their land. I think all of us memorized that scripture throughout COVID because it was the only solace that we had. It was the only time that we thought, okay, God, clearly there's something that we're not doing that we need this to pass. We need this pandemic to go away. What can we do? What shall we do? And so then it comes back to James chapter 16. The effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous, it avails much. I'm going to go down to you and break down the different pieces, right? What does it mean to be effectual? What does it mean to be fervent? And what does it mean to be righteous before the Lord? So why do we not believe that these prayers are going to be answered? Is it that we have prayed personal prayers ourselves and maybe God didn't answer those prayers the way we wanted him to? Do we believe? Big question. Do we really believe that God is going to answer these prayers? Right? Rhetorical, we can ask ourselves, do we really believe that God is going to hear us and answer these prayers? I'm forming this theory in my mind, and it's something that I'm developing and working on, but I know God has given me the revelation to show me something big is going to come out of this, and I don't know exactly how God is going to use us in this way, but I'm developing this theory of the math that says one would put 1,000 to flight, but two would put 10,000. Are you guys familiar with that scripture? That scripture is in Joshua. And in Joshua 23, verse 10, right? It said, what does it mean that one can put 1,000 to flight? Well, the Bible says one shall chase 1,000 and two shall chase 10,000 to flight. The ordinary arithmetic is for two to chase 2,000, since one can chase 1,000. And if we get somebody to agree with us in prayer, this is the piece that I'm developing. That if we can get someone to agree with us in prayer, then it will give us this extra dimension of growth. And so that better together, we are stronger together, right? So now think about that. If we're talking about one of us, which a lot of our folks love to tell us, I've seen it all through and through, there's a lot of people that pray by themselves. I prefer to pray by myself. I don't know. Well, all of us should be praying by ourselves, right? Because this is our heavenly language. This is how we speak to the Lord. This is how we communicate. This is how we pick up those phones and we dial in and we say, Lord, I'm ready to hear from you today, God. What is it that we should talk about? What is it that you would have me to pray about? And then someone maybe calls you, one of your friends maybe call you and ask you, oh, you know, so-and-so was in the hospital, or so-and-so is looking for a new job, or someone just lost their job. They just, family member, you know, got evicted. All kinds of things that people tell us throughout the day. Something would rest in our hearts and our minds that would say, you know what, maybe we need to pray about that. And so sometimes they might call you and they might want to pray with you, or maybe it rests on your heart and you want to pray for them even without them asking, right? But that's just you by yourself. Now imagine if when pastor calls us out to pray and the entire church, all the folks that are sitting here today, come out to pray. Now just think about that math. What are we doing when so many more of us are coming together to pray? seeking God's face. You know what's something that I admire about the Jews? I watch them. I'm usually in Brooklyn sometimes, and I'm looking at them as they're busily going about their day. But they're in the world, and I'm watching them, but they live in an entirely different platform. They're in a whole different realm. When you look at them, it's almost as though they're always about their Father's business. Not just because of how they're dressed, because they're set out, set apart, they look a little different, they're wearing something a little different, so they look religious. But somehow or the other, when they're going out to pray, hundreds of them are showing up to the temple. Hundreds of them. Then I think about us as Methodists, and I say to myself, God, when we are calling for prayer, how many people are really taking it that seriously as a people who are religious, a people who love the Lord, a people who's called to pray? How many of us are taking that mandate and taking that personal? How many of us feel that press in our hearts that we too should be there, be in agreement, so we could stand with the pastor so that we can take these needs before the Lord? Because indeed, we are a people of faith, and we're believing God for big things. We're not just praying for small things. We're believing God for the miraculous. We're believing God for the exceeding. We're saying, God, in your mercy, hear these prayers. Amen? That's what we're doing when we go before the Lord. Now, I'm not doing this because I'm closer to God than you. No. I do read my Bible, which all of us, I'm sure, do. I do sing praises. We sing songs. We make joyful noises in our hearts, right? We're merry. We're joyful people. We're good people. At the end of the day, but the real heart of it is, as Christians, as believers, how are we responding to that call? The powerful prayers of the righteous. So we're going on the subject matter of effectual. So I'm just going to give you a quick little Webster's dictionary of what it means to be effectual in your prayers, right? And it just tells us really quickly, successful in producing a desired or intended result. Effectual, producing or able to produce a desired effect. What is an effectual person? Who is, rather? The definition is someone or something that is doing what it is intended to do or has a legal force. An example of something effectual is really like if it's about a bet about weight loss, or you're trying to win a bet for some reason, then you're going to stick to your diet, right? Because you really want to win that bet. That's being effectual. It's very much intended for the desired result. So that's what we're talking about when in James we're seeing here, when it's saying be effectual, right? We have an intended desire. We have a desire to see a specific result. Now here is it what it's talking about for fervent, right? Exhibiting or marked with great intensity or feeling. So you see how you could just use one scripture, just a part of a scripture, and God can just blow your mind and just open up so much revelation about prayer just in that one little verse. Fervent, exhibiting or marked with great intensity or feeling. It's zealous, fervent prayers and fervency, right? And then there's other words that are synonymous to it, right? Being it says being ardent, usually demonstrative, charged, passionate, blazing. That's what it means to have fervency, to be fervent, right? This is how we're being encouraged as believers to be in prayer. So we want to be effectual. We want to be fervent. But let's think about this now. The righteous. Righteousness. That word that we have heard so much. What does it mean to be righteous? How many of us think that we're righteous people before the Lord? What makes us righteous in God's eyes? Righteousness as defined: acting in accord with divine or moral law. The definition of righteous is someone or something that is in accordance with high moral standards. When you follow all the rules and do good with your life, this is an example of a behavior that would be described as righteous. How can one be righteous? Good question. The only way for sinners like you and me to be righteous before God is through faith in Jesus Christ. When we believe in the Word of God, which tells us that Christ fulfilled all righteousness for us and then was sacrificed for us to make full atonement for all our sins, God credits it to us for righteousness. That's encouraging today, right? So we know that we are all made righteous through Jesus Christ. Amen? So now this scripture is really talking to us, and it's telling us, you are the righteousness of Christ. So you are the people that God is expecting to come to him for these prayers, with these prayers, so that they can avail much. So there's a component of belief, but then there's a component of us knowing that we are the righteousness in Christ. So this is what I want you to get today. This is really the meat and the crux of the message today that I'm trying to make sure that I'm clear about, so that we understand. When we approach the throne of grace, do know with full boldness, with full authority, that you are the righteousness of Christ and that you were made righteous through Jesus Christ and through all of the atonement that was done on the cross for us. Amen? That's some exciting news to know, because when I'm approaching the throne of grace and when I'm interceding for people for them on their behalf, and I'm going before the Lord, I'm doing that because I'm saying, God, this is how you've made me. And now I know who I am in you, and I'm confident and I'm bold that I'm going to approach the throne of grace and that you're going to hear me, Lord, and that you're going to answer my prayers. But see, when I do that sometimes by myself. But then sometimes I do it with a group of people. And so because we want to be fervent, we don't want to lose steam. We want to be blazing. We want to be saying, Lord, have you ever wondered sometimes how some people could pray for 1 hour by themselves? Maybe it's just a wonder. It's a thought. Seems a little long though, right? But the point is that as they're praying, the Holy Spirit, let's not forget that, right? The Holy Spirit is also making intercession. And it's praying some of those things that maybe I don't even know. Some of those things that maybe I forget. And so as I'm praying, even in that moment, I might have just started off that I wanted to pray for one thing. But even as I'm going through, the Holy Spirit is moving and working in me. And now those prayers are becoming more powerful, because now I'm not just praying by myself. Now I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Now I'm praying in the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit is making intercession to the Father for things that I don't even know. The power of our prayers. I'm encouraging you today, as you're hearing this simple message and this simple word, it's really not that simple. It's very big and it's very deep. God has called us his righteousness. He's telling us, let's not forget. Pray. I wish that men would pray everywhere, always lifting up holy hands. Right? Continue to pray without ceasing. All of the scriptures that remind us that God is saying, if my people come to me. Don't just come to me in a moment when you think that the world is going to fall apart, or you think that wars and rumors of wars, and maybe that's when something bad happens that we feel the need to go before the Lord a little bit more. But let's not wait for those times, because guess what? There are things that are to come. The days are upon us, believers. The day is upon us when we know that the things are coming. Why wait until the catastrophe happens before we then run into the house of worship, or before we're just sitting around like ducks, like we're not even sure what's going to happen? It's like a meteor is coming, and it's almost like we don't have any choice. Now we're going to pray? No, how about we start praying beforehand? How about we start sending up some of those prayers in advance? How about we know when we say, God, hear us, God, we know things are coming. This is what your word tells us. So I'm talking to you about the power of prayer and stored up prayers. How many of you think that if you pray in advance that maybe you can avert some of the things that's going to happen? Yeah? Good word, right? We can pray and we can avert some of the bad things that are to come. So if I was supposed to break my foot, somehow or the other, the devil decides that he wants to trip me up, and all of a sudden I'm going to fall and I'm going to break my foot. How about if I was praying in advance, or if somebody was praying for me in advance, instead of breaking my foot, I actually just got a sprain, or I just got a little cut, right? These things it's able to happen. We've seen it many a times, plenty of times. We've seen cars that flip over that was meant or intended for somebody to die, and the person walks away with just a scratch. Do you think that maybe that person had some stored up prayers? Do you think that somebody might have been praying for them, or they might have prayed before they got into that car? I'm saying to you today, Hicksville, I'm saying to you today, let us believe God for these powerful prayers, that we, who are the righteousness of Christ, is able to store up, to go before the Lord in unity, in oneness. And we can do so much more together if we start on our knees, if we start right in our seats, if we come together as the body of Christ, if we believe that God has called us to a work. I'm just encouraging you today about the power of prayer. May God bless you. Amen.